content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. Now, the Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Now, the library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that as well at the end of this program. This month, we will take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the months of August and September 2016 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. We begin our program today with a look at a book called What We Find by Robin Carr. Now, this was the most popular book for the month of September, and here is a summary of what it's all about. Between the urban bustle of Denver and the high-stress environment of a career in neurosurgery, Maggie Sullivan has hit a wall. When an emergency high-risk procedure results in the death of a teenager, Maggie finds herself in the middle of a lawsuit and experiencing levels of anxiety she's never faced before. She knows she needs to slow down before she burns out completely, and the best place she can think to do that is Sullivan's Crossing. Named for Maggie's great-grandfather, the land and charming general store at the crossroads of the Colorado and the Continental Divide trails have been passed down through the generations and now belong to Maggie's eccentric father, Sully. When she shows up unannounced, he welcomes her with open arms, and she relishes the opportunity to indulge in his simple way of life. But shortly after arriving, Maggie's world is rocked once again, and she must take on more responsibility than she'd planned. Though she's relieved a quiet and serious-looking hiker, Cal Jones, is willing to lend a hand, Maggie is suspicious of this mysterious man's eagerness to help, until she finds out the true reason for his deliberate isolation. Though Cal and Maggie each struggle with loss and loneliness, the time they spend together gives Maggie hope for something brighter just on the horizon. If only they can learn to find peace and healing, and perhaps love, with each other. The book is called What We Find, and it was written by Robin Carr. That was the most popular book from the Library for the Blind during the month of September. The next book we'll take a look at on this program is The Obsession by Nora Roberts. This one, by the way, was number two most popular for the month of September. She stood in the deep, dark woods, breath shallow and cold, prickling over her skin despite the hot, heavy air. She took a step back, then two, as the urge to run fell over her. Naomi Bowes lost her innocence the night she followed her father into the woods. In freeing the girl trapped in the root cellar, Naomi revealed the horrible extent of her father's crimes and made him infamous. No matter how close she gets to happiness, she can't outrun the sins of Thomas David Bowes. Now a successful photographer living under the name Naomi Carson, she has found a place that calls to her, a rambling old house in need of repair, thousands of miles away from everything she's ever known. Naomi wants to embrace the solitude, but the kindly residents of Sunrise Cove keep forcing her to open up, especially the determined Xander Keaton. Naomi can feel her defenses failing and knows that the connection her new life offers is something she's always secretly craved. But the sins of her father can become an obsession. And as she's learned time and again, her past is never more than a nightmare away. That book is by the very popular author Nora Roberts, and it's called The Obsession. Now let's take a look at a late summer book that was released called Bullseye by James Patterson, of course, and Michael Ledwidge. This was a very popular book during the month of September at the Library for the Blind. And so it was that in the closing days of summer, we had bestowed upon us what might be the beach read of the season. It was just a little bit late. That's the only problem. James Patterson and Michael Ledwidge are the bearers of this gift, the latest installment in their Michael Bennett series. The two open the zone with this one, that state where you are so totally immersed in what is occurring within your story that you forget all else. And yes, it is that good. Michael Bennett is the widowed father of 10 children whose parental duties are balanced by his vocational position as a New York detective. Now, the home fires are kept burning by Bennett's uncle Seamus, who is a priest, and the lovely Mary Catherine, who started off as an au pair for the family but has become much, much more to Bennett. As with many of Patterson's books, Bullseye is driven by multiple plots, and the three featured here move along at top speed. For one, a mysterious, highly professional team hits a drug manufacturing laboratory, killing everyone inside. The same team may or may not be the ones that came within a hair's breadth of assassinating the recently installed President of the United States before he could complete his first year in office. And they may be planning a second, even more dramatic attempt. The third plot hits much closer to home. The Bennett clan takes in Marvin, a young man who attends high school with son Brian. Marvin is a star athlete who comes from a disadvantaged background and needs a place to stay for 2 weeks until his uncle can get to town to provide him a home. Well, that's all well and good, but Marvin has a problem dodging him that won't let him be. Brian attempts to help, but is way out of his league. Or is he? It's a hair-raising dilemma, one that neither Brian nor Marvin may emerge from intact. Meanwhile, Bennett has a president to protect, and one failed assassination attempt isn't enough to deter the newest occupant of the White House from making a return visit to New York. Bennett is modest, self-effacing, a dad first and a cop second. But as demonstrated time and time again in this latest installment, he has the right stuff in spades in a pinch. Patterson and Ledwidge have incrementally and steadily made Michael Bennett one of Patterson's most iconic characters. Bullseye is one of the best volumes in the series, in part because it focuses primarily on Bennett's abilities in the field as the ticking clock of the plot grows ever louder with each page. True, his domestic home fires are featured, but the book is interesting and noteworthy in regards to Brian and Marvin. Neck deep in a sea of rising trouble, they ultimately must fend for themselves without assistance from a parental deus ex machina. Throw in enough twists and turns for a couple of novels, and you have Bullseye, which, with its excruciating suspense and explosive action, is worth every minute of your time and attention. And that was a review that was written by Joe Hartlob on August 19th of this year, 2016, right after the book came out. It's a good one. It sounds like it's called Bullseye by James Patterson and Michael Ledwidge. That was the number three most popular book at the Library for the Blind in September. Now book number four during the month. It's called The Survivor, a Mitch Rapp novel by Kyle Mills and Vince Flynn. This number one New York Times bestselling novel that picks up where The Last Man left off, that was the previous book, The Survivor is a no-holds-barred race to save America and Mitch Rapp's finest battle. When Joe Rick Rickman, a former golden boy of the CIA, steals a massive amount of the agency's most classified documents in an elaborately masterminded betrayal of his country, CIA Director Irene Kennedy has no choice but to send her most dangerous weapon after him, elite covert operative Mitch Rapp. Rapp quickly dispatches the traitor, but Rickman proves to be a deadly threat to America, even from beyond the grave. Eliminating Rickman didn't solve all of the CIA's problems. In fact, mysterious tip-offs are appearing all over the world, linking to the potentially devastating data that Rickman managed to store somewhere only he knew. It's a deadly race to the finish as both the Pakistanis and the Americans search desperately for Rickman's accomplices and for the confidential documents they are slowly leaking to the world. To save his country from being held hostage to a country set on becoming the world's newest nuclear superpower, Mitch Rapp must outrun, outthink, and outgun his deadliest enemies yet. That book is called The Survivor, a Mitch Rapp novel, and it was written by Kyle Mills and Vince Flynn. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Thanks for joining me today. Have you heard of bookshots? Well, bookshots are short books created by James Patterson and a number of his friend authors that usually total around 110 to 150 pages and can be read or listened to in a very short period of time. I've read a few of these myself, and I love them, actually. They're a great break from reading longer and more serious books sometimes. Actually, during the months of August and September, three of the bookshots written by James Patterson and various other authors were the most popular books from the Library for the Blind. So we'll go through and I'll tell you a little bit about each one of them. The first one is called Chase, and that is a bookshot, a Michael Bennett story. We just talked about Michael Bennett's by James Patterson and Michael Ledwidge. And this was in the top 10 of the most popular books from the library in both the months of August and September. Here is a very, very brief description. This quote, "This was no suicide," says Detective Michael Bennett. "A man plunges to his death from the roof of a Manhattan hotel. It looks like a suicide, except the victim has someone else's fingerprints and $10,000 in cash." Enter Detective Michael Bennett. It's a short book, so you get a short review. Anyway, that's called Chase. It's one of the bookshots by James Patterson, along with Michael Ledwidge. Another bookshot that was very popular in the last couple of months is called The Trial, A Woman's Murder Club Story by James Patterson and Maxine Petro. Another brief description here. This is a quote, "I'm not on trial. San Francisco is. An accused murderer called Kingfisher is about to go on trial for his life. Or is he? By unleashing unexpected violence on the lawyers, jurors, and police involved in the case, he has paralyzed the city." Well, Detective Lindsay Boxer and the Women's Murder Club are caught in the eye of the storm. Now comes a courtroom shocker that you will never see coming. Again, that's a bookshot by James Patterson and Maxine Petro, and the title of that one is The Trial. And just by the way, that particular book, of course, it was published in paperback, but it is only 110 pages. That was published in July. And Patterson keeps cranking out these books with great regularity here, and they really are a lot of fun. A third bookshot that was very popular during both August and September is Cross Kill, an Alex Cross story by James Patterson, one of Patterson's most popular characters. And it starts out this way. "Alex Cross, I'm coming for you, even from the grave if I have to." Along came a spider killer, Gary Sonagy, has been dead for over 10 years. Alex Cross watched him die, but today Cross saw him gun down his partner. Is Sonagy alive? Is he a ghost or something even more sinister? Nothing will prepare you for the wicked truth. And I have to say that I have read this particular one, and it is a good one. It's called Cross Kill. It's a bookshot, an Alex Cross story by James Patterson. Now let's move on to a book that was actually the most popular book during the month of August. It's called Dishonorable Intentions. It's a Stone Barrington novel by Stuart Woods. A Stone Barrington gains an adversary that he can't seem to shake in this electrifying new adventure from the number one New York Times bestselling author, who of course is Stuart Woods. Stone Barrington's latest lady friend is full of surprises, both good and ill. A sensual woman with unexpected desires, Stone finds her revelations in the boudoir extremely agreeable. But on the other hand, she also has some unfinished business with a temperamental man who believes Stone is an intolerable obstacle in the way of his goals. In a cat-and-mouse game that trails from sun-drenched Bel Air to a peaceful European estate and the wild New Mexican desert, Stone and his friend remain just one step ahead of their opponent. But their pursuer is not a man who can stand to be thwarted, and tensions are mounting and may soon reach the boiling point. Sounds like an exciting novel. This is Dishonorable Intentions, a Stone Barrington novel written by the author Stuart Woods. Harlan Coben is a very, very popular author we hear about a lot on this program. We're going to talk about a relatively new book of his that is called Fool Me Once. And this is also from a review done by Joe Hartlob just back in March of this year. Fool Me Once is really quite a book. Just when you think that Harlan Coben may have lost his touch, he turns things around and upside down, demonstrating not only that he still has it, but that he never lost it. Fool Me Once, indeed, it is aptly named and a heck of a book, quite possibly one of his best, according to the reviewer. You can add Fool Me Once to the list of Coben's standalone works. It features one of his more unique characters in the form of Maya Stern, a former special ops pilot who saw combat duty overseas. It was not a good period in Maya's life. While on duty, she received the news from her husband Joe, the scion of an extremely wealthy and influential New York family, that her sister had been horribly murdered. That and her actions during a subsequent combat mission changed Maya for good. Her military career in tatters, she returned stateside, took a job as a flight instructor, and had a daughter with her husband. As is demonstrated early on, however, violent death seems to follow Maya very closely. The story opens with the funeral, this one for Joe, who was brutally murdered, execution style, while meeting Maya in Central Park. Not long after the burial, a nanny cam that Maya had installed in her home shows an all but impossible video in which Maya's supposedly dead husband is playing happily with their daughter. Now, Maya's nanny accuses Maya of losing her mind. Then the police come to Maya with another mystery. Ballistics demonstrate that the gun used to kill Maya's sister 4 months before is the same weapon that killed Joe. Someone, it seems, has it out for Maya, who begins her own investigation. Now, as it develops, Maya was hopefully a better combat pilot than a detective. The book seems to drag just a bit here and there as Maya pursues a number of false leads. Even as a suspicious police detective assigned to Joe's murder and a successful but potentially shady private investigator both come into the mix, Maya receives some unexpected help from a former adversary who may not have switched sides entirely. That aside, it seems as if things are going nowhere until, at story's end, a startling revelation and an even more unexpected event takes place, and everything that has gone before suddenly makes sense. Coben plays fair in Fool Me Once. Yes, he leads the reader astray, but if one reads carefully, he offers words of advice and warning from various corners of the narrative in the form of quotations that you and yours have seen maybe once or twice while perusing the classics. And of course, there's more to the novel than a tantalizing mystery. The story is built on the premise that everyone has a past, and that it often is worth knowing what that past is before becoming involved with someone to any great extent. Throw in a whole pot full of interesting characters, some important, others red herrings, and you have a thriller that ultimately will leave you stunned. Just stick with it. You'll read the last few pages over again just to make sure you didn't misread them. Sounds like a good mystery to me. That was a review by Joe Hartlob on March 25th, 2016. And once again, the book was by Harlan Coben, and it's entitled Fool Me Once. Now let's move on to our next book for today on the program. This is called The Pursuit. It is a Fox and O'Hare novel by Janet Ivanovich and Lee Goldberg. Janet Ivanovich, author of the blockbuster Stephanie Plum novels, and Lee Goldberg, writer for the Monk television show, team up once again for the fifth book in a rollicking New York Times best-selling series called Fox and O'Hare series. Here's the plot. Nicholas Fox, international con man, thief, and one of the top 10 fugitives on the FBI's most wanted list, has been kidnapped from a beachfront retreat in Hawaii. Now, what the kidnapper doesn't know is that Nick Fox has been secretly working for the FBI. It isn't long before Nick's covert partner, Special Agent Kate O'Hare, is in hot pursuit of the crook who stole her con man. The trail leads to Belgium, France, and Italy, and pits Nick and Kate against their deadliest adversary yet, Dragan Kovic, an ex-Serbian military officer. Now, he's plotting a crime that will net him billions and cost thousands of American lives. Nick and Kate have to mount the most daring, risky, and audacious con they've ever attempted to save a major U.S. city from a catastrophe of epic proportions. Luckily, they have the help of an eccentric, out-of-work actor, a bandit who does his best work in the sewers, and Kate's dad, Jake. The pressure's on for Nick and Kate to make this work, even if they have to lay their lives on the line. That is called The Pursuit, a Fox and O'Hare novel written by very popular author Janet Ivanovich and Lee Goldberg. Now here's a book that was quite popular in the last couple of months here. It is not a novel. It is a nonfiction. It's called Crisis of Character, A White House Secret Service Officer Discloses His First-Hand Experience with Hillary and Bill Clinton and How They Operate. It was written by Gary J. Byrne and Grant M. Schmidt. Posted directly outside President Clinton's Oval Office, former Secret Service uniformed officer Gary Byrne reveals what he observed of Hillary Clinton's character and the culture inside the White House while protecting the First Family. Now that a second Clinton administration is on the horizon, their scheme from the very beginning, Byrne exposes what he saw of the real Hillary Clinton. While serving as a Secret Service officer, Gary Byrne protected President Bill Clinton and the First Family in the White House and outside the Oval Office. There he saw the political and personal machinations of Bill and Hillary Clinton and those who were fiercely loyal to them. In Crisis of Character, Byrne provides a first-hand account of the scandals, known and unknown, and daily trials ranging from the minor to national in scale. Having witnessed the personal and political dysfunction of the Clinton White House, so consumed by scandal and destroying their enemies, real and imagined, Byrne came to understand that to the Clintons, governing was an afterthought. He now tells this story before voters go to the polls, in the hopes that Clinton supporters will understand the real Hillary Clinton. That was one of the most popular books in the last couple of months at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Again, it's called Crisis of Character, and it's written by Gary J. Byrne and Grant M. Schmidt. We're getting near the end of the program. Time for maybe just one more. Here's a popular author named Mary Higgins Clark. You've heard books about her many times on this program. And this is a book called The Cradle Will Fall, which is, I don't believe, is one of the newest books, but it's relatively new, I suppose. Anyway, here is the summary of it. A minor road accident landed County Prosecutor Katie DeMaio in Westlake Hospital. That night, from her window, she thought she saw a man load a woman's body into the trunk of a car. Or was it just a sleeping pill-induced nightmare? At work the next day, Katie began investigating a suicide that looked more like murder. Initial evidence pointed elsewhere, but medical examiner Richard Carroll saw a trail leading to Dr. Edgar Hiley. He suspected that the famous doctor's work, curing infertile women, was more than controversial, that it was deceitful, depraved, and often deadly. But before Richard could tell Katie his fears, she left the office for the weekend and an appointment for routine surgery in Dr. Hiley's operating room. That is entitled The Cradle Will Fall, and by the very, very popular mystery writer Mary Higgins Clark. And if you haven't read that one, it is available today from the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Impaired. And we've got just about a minute left, so I'm going to tell you about two more books very quickly. One of them, Once a Rancher by Linda Lale Miller. This is always a very popular author. The Carsons of Mustang Creek, three men who embody the West and define what it means to be a rancher, a cowboy, and a hero, in a brand new series from the Queen of Western Romance, Linda Lale Miller. That book is called Once a Rancher. And the last one, Chain of Evidence, written by Ridley Pearson. And the simple plot there is Detective Joe D'Artelli made one critical mistake in his police career. He chose to ignore a piece of evidence in a case labeled a suicide that might have been a murder. Now, the dead man was himself a vicious woman killer who more than deserved his fate, but that ignored evidence pointed to D'Artelli's former mentor, the brilliant forensic specialist Walter Zeller. Both of them sound good, and I think you'll enjoy it. That was Chain of Evidence by Ridley Pearson. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for NC Library for the Blind or call toll-free 1-888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long, until next time.